from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Son of a gun. I give Lonzo the lead in the last hour, like the Atlanta Falcons blowing a 28-3 lead. I choke in the clutch.
Now I should do what I can do. I could just not talk the rest of the hour and I win.
Oh man.
The listeners don't win if I do that, but I would win.
The Tom Brady of radio Lonzo, the Matt Ryan of radio Rob Brown.
No. Your neck ain't long enough.
Just not good enough.
His neck is way too, you can't. I mean.
Final hour of the show. Got a lot to get to, a lot to talk about. NFL preseason week number two just about set to fire up. Everybody who is not Philadelphia, everybody who is not New England, everybody who is not, oh gosh, I'm doing it off the top of my head. We do have two games on Sunday night as well. Green Bay at Denver Sunday at 8. New Orleans at San Francisco Sunday night at 8. Everybody else plays tomorrow. We got games starting at noon and running through all the way up until 10 p.m. Of course, the Carolina Panthers would kick off against the New York Jets at 7 p.m. Kind of interesting because back when we had the four preseason games, Week 2 was ordinarily the preseason game that you would see the most out of your starters. This is the week that, you know, you let a bunch of the young guys get their time in Week 1. Week 2, you would give the starters their opportunity to go out there, get the reps, get the snaps at full speed against a full speed defense. And then Week 3 and 4, provided those guys didn't stink, you'd let them rest 3 and 4 so they could get all the bruises and the nicks out of the way before they got to week one. Now it looks like most of the teams are kind of flipping that around. Most of the teams, it seems like, with the exception of the Kansas City Chiefs, where Andy Reid said his starters will be playing the entire first half. It appears that most teams are going to be taking it easy with their starters tomorrow. So if you're a gambling man, probably not the best weekend to put anything on the line for these. But a lot of storylines to pay attention to in week number two. We talked with Rashad Beard of the Panther Nation podcast back in the last segment a little bit about what he expected to see. Said he does not expect to see a lot out of the starters, specifically out of Bryce Young tomorrow. And I think that's interesting. Like I said, you don't want to put your cards on the table in the preseason. You kind of want to hold a little bit back. You kind of want to keep a little bit back so that you're not telling everybody, yo, this is who we are. This is our identity, A. And B, you don't want to with, on Saturday, effectively there being 2 weeks until we start playing competitive NFL football, divisional football. You don't want to go out there 2 weeks early and have a guy roll an ankle. You don't want to get him you don't want to get him J.J. McCarthy'd 2 weeks out.
Yeah, but they could do that in practice. I would like to see Bryce Young a little bit. You don't necessarily owe it to the fans, but it would be nice for the fans to get a glimpse, to get a taste of what this season is going to be like. I mean, just a couple series. Just throw him out there a couple series.
I am going to go with, I agree I'm putting him out there. I don't give a damn about the fans. All right?
I do. I love you all.
Lonzo, Rob Brown, I don't care about the fans. The preseason is not, it's not for casuals. It's not for the fans. It's not for you. It's for the coaches. It's for the guys trying to make the roster. I would still throw BY out there. And I would throw Bryce Young out there, even if it's only for a couple of series. I'm throwing him out there so he can continue to build that rhythm. I know it aggravates Lonzo. And I don't care. I know what aggravates some of you.
What, you just said exactly what I said?
No.
But you did it for your own reasons?
No.
I mean, you know.
No. What I was going to say is, I know what aggravates Lonzo. That I say that this is Bryce Young's rookie year. I'm going to continue saying it because to me it is true. Last year, the franchise was a trash can. Okay? It wasn't a trash can. It was a dumpster fire that was burning inside of a slightly larger dumpster fire.
So anyone who was a rookie on New England last year, this is all their rookie season again.
If it was a quarterback, yes.
Oh, so it's only the quarterback. Everybody else, it doesn't matter.
No, I think it matters for everybody else.
I'm confused.
But one position on the football field is unquestionably the most important position on the football field. Right? Tua Tagovailoa is not getting paid more money than all the other quarterbacks if quarterback wasn't the most important position for every football team. There are teams out there with great rosters and bad quarterbacks, and we write them off before the season starts because you've got to have good play. And so for a guy that plays the most complicated position in football, for a guy that plays the most high-pressure position in football, when the guy comes into a program that's fired a head coach, brought in another head coach, fires that head coach, has had two head coaches and two interim coaches in 2 years, and has a manager who, and again, I think it is important that we give Dave Tepper credit. Don't at me, bro. Because since the introductory press conference of Dan Morgan and of Dave Canales, we ain't heard a peep. I got a chuckle at Carolina Fan Fest a couple of weeks ago at Clemson because Dave Tepper was there. I saw him. When the Real Diesel and I were finishing up.
You thought you saw him at ACC Media Days, too.
I saw him there. Okay. I definitely saw him at FanFest.
So you confirmed?
Confirmed.
Yeah, the name tag that said.
No, I'll show you a picture of him. It's him.
Okay.
So we saw him. When the Real Diesel and I were finishing up Wire to Wire, the boss man was sending us pictures of him in the background at the VIP area. I walked down there afterwards and saw him watching the practice.
Well, if the boss saw him, then it's definitely accurate.
Unquestionably. And what I would say is, so far, the dude has kept his promise, right? When Dan Morgan and Dave Canales got introduced, and I think it was Sheena Quick, who does an excellent job covering this team, I think it was Sheena Quick that walked up and said, hey, can we get your thoughts? Can we get your opinion on what we just heard? And Dave Tepper said, I'm stepping back. I'm taking a back seat. I'm going to let the football guys do football things. And I don't know about y'all, but I went, okay, Dave, wink, 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 wink. Yeah, I believe you, bud, for sure. And I asked this question that day because Diesel was talking about it. I said, yo, D-Train, quick question. When's the last time you heard from Dave Tepper? What's the last thing you heard him say? What's the last comment you remember him saying? What's the last weird fan interaction that he's had since that's kind of the legacy that you're hanging on right now? And he said, I haven't. Yeah, exactly. I think he's kept his promise. And I think he is to be commended for that, because that was a massive problem. So I take a cat who showed up at a franchise that was going through their second head coach in as many years, that fired their second head coach in as many years, that was going through their second interim coach in as many years, and that had a fractured front office. Last year, the unofficial slogan of the Carolina Panthers was "snitches get stitches," because you had all these stories. And I'm gonna keep it a buck with you, people. I don't care if they were true or not. There were so many of them that at some point that becomes a distraction. Even if there are so many, this is what we talked about yesterday, for instance, with Ryan Day. It is not that I believe that there is anywhere close to a majority of Ohio State fans who are ready to move on from Ryan Day. It's the fact that there is so much noise happening about it, that what is being talked about, the actual issue, isn't the problem. It's the talk about the issue that's not real that becomes the problem. That was a big part of Carolina for me last year. It was the fact that you have report after report after report after report coming out that I got Dave Tepper, and he's over here, and he's got Scott Fitterer, who's ratting out coaches, and the coaches are all having their own interpersonal battles. This was the big problem, and this is why when Frank Reich got hired, and one of the big things that came out was Dave Tepper is not allowing Frank Reich to build out his own staff. Dave Tepper is demanding that this team goes and puts together an all-star coaching staff. And I said, ooh, that's a problem. That's problematic to me. It's problematic to me because you're bringing a bunch of different guys from different philosophies, from different backgrounds that don't really have much in common in terms of work experience. You're throwing them all into a room and you're saying, get it together, boys. I've been in this game a very long time, you guys. And I can tell you that when you bring a group of people from different philosophies and backgrounds and you put them in a room together and you say, make it work, sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes different guys with different philosophies about how different things should be done in different ways, they can't compromise. They can't reach an agreement. And I thought that's what happened. And here's this rookie quarterback, first round draft pick overall, a guy that, in a situation he had nothing to do with, watched a team give away a buttload of resources to go get the guy. So the pressure naturally increases on him to be the football messiah of Charlotte, North Carolina. I don't see how he could have thrived, but survived. And that is a retrospective look. Coming into last year, you're like, all right, man, like, I expect you to be good. I'm not saying make a Pro Bowl your rookie year. I'm just saying I expect you to be good. And looking back at it now, and I think this is absolutely a hindsight being 2020 kind of moment. I look back at it now and I go, looking at what that bleep show was, I don't know how I could have expected anybody to survive in that situation. I think there's a lot of quarterbacks, and I will not say all, but I think there's a lot of quarterbacks around the league that if you switched their place with Bryce Young, I think you'd have gotten similar results. Honestly. I think if I would have flipped Kirk Cousins and Bryce Young, I think the results would have been, I'm not going to say identical, but I think the results would have been similar for both teams. I still think Carolina would have been real bad. They might not be 2-15. They might have been like 4-13. And I'm not saying that Minnesota would have been a playoff threat. I'm saying they'd have been close. That's it. So looking at it in retrospect, I don't know how he could have survived last year. So this year, it's not an all-star coaching staff. This year, it's Dave Canales' coaching staff. This year, it's not a QB whisperer who has a questionable scheme. It's a guy you hired because of the scheme. Last year, it's not a stagnant, static, old school offense. It's an offense that, as Rashad Beard pointed out in the last segment, is utilizing motion, is opening up reads, etc. Yes. In my opinion, which is objectively right, in my opinion, I have already seen things that make me go, okay, this is the year that I think it is fair by week 7, 8, 9, we can go Bryce Young ain't or do got it. I don't think you can do it last year. And that reason alone is why I have hammered down this is Bryce Young's rookie year, in my opinion.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one. Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
All right, we talked some Carolina Panther preseason football. Let's take a look at some of the other games and storylines that we'll be keeping an eye on when preseason week number 2 gets underway tomorrow evening. I'll tell you one thing I am very interested in seeing tomorrow, and I'm sure that Lonzo will feel the same way. Let's see the full-scale Chiefs offense with Xavier Worthy on the top tomorrow. Let's see him uncork a little bit. If you're going to play the boys for a full half, I expect it is going to be the offense for the full half and Xavier Worthy now stepping in for Marquise Hollywood Brown, who is dinged up and out. Xavier Worthy, 0 catches last week, but if the Chiefs are going to run the offense this week, he's going to have to be that guy. We'll see how far along he is in outing number one. I will say very simply that if Hollywood Brown is going to be out, as Andy Reid called it, quote, for some time, end quote, ex Xavier Worthy is going to have to be an impact player.
Still have Sky Moore and still have Jason Kelsey. Gosh, man, I just want to quit now.
Disrespecting the Chiefs.
Yeah. They can show their entire offense for this week because they change it so much week to week, it's not going to matter. Some people like to leave it vanilla. I don't think they worry about that. Do you come out and scare the league that's been disrespecting them big time? Just come out with full offense, drive down, score 3 touchdowns, and then stop?
I think what I'm doing if I'm Andy Reid, because you got the Ravens and the Bengals out of the gate. You got two of probably your 3, maybe 2 out of 4 of your biggest Super Bowl threats starting the season. 5th of November, you got the Ravens. 15th of November, you've got the Bengals before you're on the road at Hotlanta and then on the road at L.A., the Chargers version. If I'm Andy Reid and if he's committed to running the starters for a full half, I think I'm going with the offense. I think I'm going out. I think I'm balling. I think I'm playing. I think I'm just going for it. And again, I don't think that the offense changes for Andy Reid. I just think Andy Reid is better at making offensive adjustments play by play than most coaches are at making offensive adjustments half by half. It's not that it is a different offense. It's just he tinkers so much based on what he's being given and not given that it kind of feels that way game to game. I think I'm rolling, if I'm the Chiefs, I'm rolling out there immediately because what Xavier Worthy can do, especially when, but definitely before Hollywood Brown comes back, I need that kid to be a feature because if you don't want to end up in a spot, it is just as realistic that the Chiefs start 0-2 as it is that they start 2-0. And I think a lot of that's going to have to do with whether or not Xavier Worthy is in any sort of routine when it rolls around.
I don't know. Pacheco's supposed to be even better this year than he was last year. I hope Saturday they just start off with a bomb right away. Because I'm curious if we know how fast Xavier Worthy is. How fast is he on the football field when someone's covering him? That's what I want to see.
And that's the question. Listen, you talk to anybody who knows ball, and they will tell you. Shorts and shirt straight line speed is not the same as shells and helmet angled speed, right? A lot of guys, incredible acceleration, good holding speed, but the second you ask them to plant a foot and change direction, all of that stops, reverts, redirects, and then goes again. Well, all I need for a DB is 0.2 seconds to get back into the slot where I'm covering that guy up. So I think it's as much. We know Xavier Worthy can get from X to Y faster than anybody else. My question is, can he get to X to Y if he's got to run an interior cut in the process?
Yeah, well, if you think about it, Tyreek Hill, it wasn't all bombs for him. He would catch stuff in the flat, close to the line, and then make a run out of it. So can Worthy do that? Then you'll know if you actually have a replacement for Tyreek Hill, which you didn't have last year and still won the Super Bowl.
1 o'clock tomorrow, the Cincinnati Bengals taking on the Chicago Bears. Matt Eberflus said that we should expect somewhere in the neighborhood of 50 snaps in the preseason for Caleb Williams. We did get a few of them last Saturday for the number one overall pick, threw for 95 yards and a 101.8 QBR in his first first game at all because he did not play in the Hall of Fame game. What does Chicago show? But I think it's just as interesting on the other side. You've had joint practices this week. Rashad Beard's already said he does not think you're going to see Bryce Young this week because Bryce Young has effectively been playing preseason ball against the Jets in the joint practice yesterday, got a lot of snaps doing so. Caleb Williams and the Chicago Bears did have a joint practice against the Bengals this week. Will they follow that same methodology and hold Caleb Williams about, or will we see if he can come back and do what he did last week again?
That's the other thing about the NFL. There's not a consistent way of doing things. Every coach does something different, so no clue if he's going to play. I hope he gets to. I like seeing a little bit of the starters in the preseason, especially the new guys.
I don't disagree. I do not disagree. Let's go to another one. The Pittsburgh Steelers. They have been maintaining for a while now that Russell Wilson is QB1 for week number one, but Wilson is not way clear of being not the dude anymore. The thoughts are that Justin Fields will push Russell Wilson. And this is one thing I said. Lonzo and I talked about it a lot. I think Russell Wilson is both starting and finishing the year as Bears QB1. But the reason Justin Fields is there, same reason Michael Penix Jr. is an Atlanta Falcon. Because he's QBF. He's QB of the future. He's the guy they're looking forward to. They'll be ready to switch to him the day that Mike Tomlin goes, okay, it is official. I've seen what I need to see. Justin Fields is clear-cut better than Russell Wilson. The question is, does he start pushing him in the preseason a little bit? Russell Wilson will start tomorrow for the Steelers.
So I'm curious about this because of the label that Russell Wilson has. If he goes at Tomlin a little bit because he's not happy with the play, does Tomlin pull him if they're that close? I'm talking about if the backup is as close to the starter as I believe he is, do you just go ahead and pull him? And you can cite reputation that he's had the last couple years and go, hey, I thought I could fix that. I can't.
Well, first off, I mean, if we're talking, let's start with talking reputation. Let's talk about the reputation of the two quarterbacks, right? Russell Wilson's got his dinged up because of what happened in Denver. The question mark is, and this is for everyone to answer on their own, do you believe it was Russell Wilson's fault? Do you believe it was the Denver Broncos' fault? I've made my stance on it very clear. I think the Broncos are in trouble under Sean Payton.
So,
I really do.
So was it the fault of the coach before him who allowed him to have a office and all those things that are reported? I mean, it just – he seems like what – if you were casting a quarterback – Russell Wilson would be the guy, the prima donna, kind of, you know, it's me, I need my own space, all that kind of stuff.
Don't get me wrong. I think Russell
Wilson. I just don't think that works in Pittsburgh. That's all I'm saying.
I think Russell Wilson's a bit of a weirdo, okay? I think he's manufactured. I think everything about Russell Wilson is fake and plastic AF, for sure. But I also still think he's got the ability to play a good quarterback in him. I think he's manufacturing himself so his brand stays alive after his career is over. But I still think he plays a good quarterback. Here's the other flip side of this. I appreciate everybody bagging on Russell Wilson for having his own office and all that in the building. But number one, if your boss came to you today and said, hey, bud, I want to put you up in your own corner office in the building. Yeah, you're taking it, too. Absolutely. I'm going to tell you right now, I love sharing an office with a great one. I love the Fortress of Nerditude, but if the boss comes down tomorrow and goes, yo, so-and-so moved out, do you want your own private office with a view? I'll come see you after the show, pal.
I don't want to kill things, but I was in there for a couple years by myself, and I suggested certain people get in there, starting with Chris, and I suggested that you get in there because I was lonely.
And it's appreciated.
So I don't want a corner office. I don't want to be by myself. This is the only time I have interaction with people is when I'm at work.
Not me. I will take my own corner office with a view. Thank you very much.
So what you're saying is you want out of the office. That's what I'm getting out of.
Those are two different things. Okay. I don't want out of the office.
There's probably room in there with Cole and Diesel. I mean, you could squeeze in a third person.
No, I absolutely don't want that. No, I don't have an answer. Listen, if Russell Wilson is giving, or excuse me, if the Denver Broncos are giving, Russell Wilson is taking. I don't have an issue with that. Now it's just a matter of, where's Justin Fields versus Russell Wilson? And I think we'll get a read on that tomorrow. Number three story I'm looking forward to. The Minnesota Vikings are at the Cleveland Browns at 4:25 tomorrow. It's now the Sammy D show. J.J. McCarthy out with a torn meniscus. He will not play his rookie season in the National Football League. Sam Darnold will start the season at quarterback, and he gets his first look as the official definitive QB1. Darnold has been an effective NFL backup, not as much a starter. Carolina Panther fans know that very, very well. The question mark is, can we get enough out of Sam Darnold? You know who I need him to be? I need him to be Brock Purdy. That's what I need Sam Darnold to be. I don't need you to be electrifying. I don't need you to be incredible. I don't need you to be amazing. I need you to be good enough. I need you to be good enough to allow a fan-damn-tastic cast and crew of skill position players to drag you to greatness, not the other way around. Can Sam Darnold be Minnesota Brock Purdy? If the answer is yes, the Vikings, they might be okay. They might be okay. If not, oof, woof, woof, rough offseason for the Minnesota Vikings. Tell you what we'll do. We'll run to a break. When we come back, I got two or three more big-time storylines that I'm looking forward to watching tomorrow in the preseason. Preseason is not for casuals, baby. So I'll tell you what storylines to be looking through as a knower of ball when we come back. Lonzo, Rob, you, the Rob Brown Show, the Fan Upstate. running through the NFL preseason schedule and some of the stories that we are keeping an eye on this weekend. I'll give you a couple more before we get to what the X is going on and call it a Friday. Got to get down on Friday. Banger.
It is like Joe Hendry.
Banger. Wait, where is it? I gotta get right clip.
Where's the after? That just sounds. There we go. All right.
Okay. Denver Broncos. We just talked about them a minute ago. Denver Broncos are going to be, I think, pedestrian at best this year. I do not think they'll be the worst team in the National Football League. I think that honor and distinction belongs to the New England Patriots. This year, I think that their dynastic run of two decades, they're paying for it. They're going to pay for it now. All right, they made a very long run. They were very good for a very long time, and now they got to be bad for a little while, at least a little while. I don't think Denver is going to be that good either. The Broncos don't play until Sunday evening when they host the Green Bay Packers. Bo Nix is the story. Captain Checkdown. Started an NCAA record 61 games between his stints at both Auburn and Oregon. Here's the fun part. Who else are you excited about there? This isn't a quarterback competition like it is in New England. All right, is it Drake May? Do you go with Jacoby Brissett and let the veteran get the hell beat out of him so that you don't ruin your project quarterback? Do you go wild card and run Joe Milton III out there and see what that guy does? The Broncos quarterback competition, I think, is going to be who's not the worst? Jarrett Stidham, Zach Wilson, Bo Nix. Who's not the worst? That's just where they are. Hey, speaking of rookie quarterbacks, how about Jaden Daniels? Jaden Daniels is very compelling to me. Not just because I believe that Jaden Daniels is the best quarterback in this rookie class, and I think that will play out over the next couple of years. What is interesting to me for Jaden Daniels is the Commanders have said nothing about the guy. Nothing about the guy. They've said nothing about Jaden Daniels. They have not talked about their plan for him. They haven't even named him QB1.
All right, you're going to get mad at me about this, but I don't care. According to Pete Thamel, the WWE is set to unveil branded title belts for a number of top college programs, including Georgia, Alabama, Texas, Michigan, Ohio State, Notre Dame, and LSU.
Okay. I mean, listen, they've already done it with...
Of course, the picture is of the Alabama belt.
Well, of course. Go where the money is, right?
The big A's on the side plates. It looks really good.
I'm not mad about it. They did it with, MLB teams, a select number of MLB teams. And here's the thing. WWE saw the NIL door open, and they kicked it down, dude. They kicked it down. And not just football players. Like, they've got they've got NIL dealings with track runners and Olympic. They have what? I think like two or three WWE NIL athletes won Olympic medals this year. Like, they kicked it down. It's very interesting, which is interesting after the Gable Steveson project failed dramatically.
He's now in Minnesota, right?
Buffalo. He's a Bills.
Oh, is he?
Okay. Yeah, he's a Bills. I don't think he's going to be on the roster, but right now he's a Bills.
Remember, hasn't gotten any fights like Brock Lesnar did.
Not that I'm aware of yet, but you'll know if it happens because it'll be like, oh, there's a fight, Brett German suplex. All right, that fight's over. It's over. Don't know what the deal is for Jaden Daniels right now. I mean, I think he's got to be QB1. I think he has got the most, to me, the biggest likelihood of being that transformational rookie quarterback that comes hot out of the gate and makes a difference. I got scary Terry McLaurin back there. That is kind of the primary for him. I'm interested to see what happens. The Commanders face the Dolphins
Terry
on Saturday.
McLaurin go to school at?
I don't know. Where did Terry McLaurin go to school at?
I'm just curious.
It sounds like you know, Lonzo.
Maybe wide receiver U? I could be wrong. It's possible.
Washington Huskies?
Problems with names. Okay. Yeah.
That, of course, would be an Ohio State University.
Uh-huh. I'm just saying, because most of the time, it just seems like every time a wide receiver is talked about, a great wide receiver, they come from there.
Yeah, for sure. Justin Jefferson. Oh, wait, no.
It was Clemson for a while.
Tyreek Hill. No longer. Not 99. Not the member of the 99 club.
All right, disparage your own team now. Go ahead.
We don't have a Buckeye wide receiver anymore.
No, they're all gone.
Michael Thomas is gone.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. No, we got Olave still. Olave's a Buckeye guy.
Okay, because last time I checked, he's pretty good.
Old Columbus South, New Orleans, Louisiana. We're due another Buckeye. It's been a minute. Commanders Dolphins coming up tomorrow. Wonder how much we'll see Jaden Daniels, and more importantly, wonder if they will turn him loose. Hey, here's a quarterback competition ain't nobody talking about right now, and yet it might be the most compelling one of all. And if you're on the stream, we talked about it a little bit during the break there just a minute ago. Talked about the AFC West in the predicted order of finish. We will give you those not next week, but the week after as we line it up for NFL Week 1. One of the biggest quarterback competitions may have a lot to say about how that order, how that division orders up. Aiden O'Connell versus Gardner Minshew II. A QB battle for the ages.
Wow. I'm looking forward to this. Whoever comes out of this is going to be scarred for life, but still.
You put some name on Gardner Minshew. That's my dog.
You said you put some name on.
Put some respect on Gardner Minshew.
Who you got? Who you think's winning it?
Gardner Minshew.
That's who I think, too.
Gardner Minshew. Aiden O'Connell last week, pretty good. 7-9 for 78 yards on one drive, though he did take a third down sack near the goal line. Gardner Minshew took over 117 yards and a touchdown, played well as well. The Raiders say they want to pick a QB1 for the regular season at the conclusion of this preseason game, and they both played relatively well in week one.
A starter in the NFL named Aiden. You can't do that.
Dude, there's people.
In the Ivy League, yeah. But in the NFL, no.
And finally, the Atlanta Falcons, Michael Penix Jr. Atlanta on the road at Baltimore at M&T Bank Stadium in Baltimore, Maryland. Michael Penix Jr. gonna get the start, gonna get the snaps, probably gonna play a significant number of snaps for the Atlanta Falcons. They just boosted the defense. We talked about that earlier in the show. The thought, the reason that Falcons fans were all up in their fifis after the draft was they wanted to bolster the defense, and instead they went and got QBF. And I said at the time, hey, relax. A lot of days on the calendar between here and the start of the NFL season. Let Terry Fontenot cook. Let my man go to work. And wouldn't you know it, in 2 days, the two biggest question marks were defensive line and pass rusher, bang, Matthew Judon, former New England Patriot, is now Atlanta Falcon, and the defensive backfield, bang, just like that two-time Pro Bowler, Justin Simmons, gets stolen away from the New Orleans Saints to come shore up, bolster the defensive backfield a little bit. So now you can dial your attention in on Michael Penix Jr. Let's see what this guy's going to do. I do think you're going to get some starting time for the Atlanta Falcons on the road at the Baltimore Ravens, and I think that's the biggest question that's got to be answered. Is MPJ ready to be QB1 now in case something happens to Kirky, or is he going to need some time? Is he going to need some development time? Is he going to need some garbage time snaps when the Falcons are either up big or down big to give him an opportunity to figure it out? Or does he have it now? Again, not expecting that this guy's going to be a monster. Not expecting that this guy's going to be an all-world player right out of the gate. Although, as somebody who appreciates and enjoys chaos and drama, it would be super awesome if he was. How much fun is it if Michael Penix Jr. comes out tomorrow and goes like 15 of 16 for 220 and two tutties in one half? Uh-oh, do we have a controversy? That's what I wanted to happen with Joe Milton last night. It didn't. I was very sad. I really wanted that guy to come out and just cook. Hey, can Sean McVay stop being good at everything now? Yes, it's a tie at the buzzer.
Oh, I was doing so well. Oh, I can't believe it.
All you had to do was do nothing at all.
Wow.
All you had to do was do nothing at all, and instead you took back the Atlanta Falconsing that I did this hour and stole the tie, snatching a draw from the jaws of victory. Attaboy.
I'm so mad at myself right now.
You should be. You should be. That's rough. That's a rough way to not win a week. Woof.
You're welcome.
Oh, Sean McVay's going to let his assistant coach, and he's going to go broadcast the Rams game this weekend.
Good for him. Practicing for that extra thing. All right, the first thing that's excellent is Randy Orton.
The head coach is going to not coach and broadcast.
I'm still mad. Randy Orton is excellent.
Randy Orton is trending because he was on Cody Rhodes' podcast, I think might be the reason, and two things happened. Number one, he and Cody had a good cry together about how proud they are of each other, which is fine. Let the bros be bros, all right? Let the bros have some ebrotion around each other. Let them let it out. There's nothing wrong with showing the emotion, bros. Number two, he's going to be in the Hall of Fame, and Cody asked him who he would want to induct him, and he said, Cena, but I don't think I've got it in me to ask the all-timer.
All right, so there are a lot of reasons. Those are good reasons. Another reason just popped up on my feed. He actually auditioned for the role of Cable in Deadpool 2.
Really?
That's yes.
I
was not aware of that.
I think that could have been good. But I also think Brolin kind of nailed that.
Also, he played 600 hours of Elden Ring while he was recovering from back fusion surgery.
600 hours?
Yeah, I put in a lot of time in that game, too. I don't know if I went 600.
Did you put in 600 hours?
I don't know. Some games, it tracks and says you've been playing this game for like a day and a half.
Randy Orton spent an even 25 days of his life playing that. And I'm not here to judge, because I promise you, if you go pull up my GTA 6 numbers right now, I'm in that ballpark in GTA. But that's a lot.
Here's a problem with, and we'll discuss this more on the Upstate Pulse tomorrow night, 7 to 9 p.m. on News Talk 98.9. Back fusion surgery, that game is a frustrating game. I'm pretty chill when I play a video game. You can't be in that game. Because when you die, you just lost a ton of progress. All your enemies respawn, everything. So how did he stay so chill for that? I guess he just couldn't move.
I got that game. I played it 20 minutes, and I'm like, nope, screw this. I'm out.
Yeah.
This is stupid, and I hate it.
600 hours.
Stupid, and I hate it. 600 hours, and by the way, if you play 300 hours and then you die, and you don't get back to your little thingies on the ground to get your save back, that's just 300 hours just gone. I'm out.
All right. All right. The next thing that's exiting, just might as well keep with wrestling, is Big E.
Big E is trending because Jonathan Coachman, is he producing? I don't even know what he's doing.
No, he's not even with the WWE.
Jonathan Coachman said yesterday on a pod that Big E will never wrestle again, that he is officially done, that he's not going to be able to come back. Now, I don't know why Jonathan Coachman is the guy that everybody's decided they're going to take at his word. No shot against Coach, but like I said, he's not there. I don't know how or why he knows.
He's been doing a lot of talking about his time in WWE, and it was not a very good time for him, and why he won't go back. But the reason why I found that is X-ing is because people are asking, what superstar would you like to see that you miss the most? And Big E is the one that most people are saying.
I mean, that's fair. It's just one of those spots that there's a lot of guys I'd love to see one more time again. But the fact that guy got robbed of a career is what's kind of a bummer.
And finally, Matthew Perry is X-ing.
Matthew Perry is trending because apparently five people have been arrested for a connection to the death of Matthew Perry. I don't know anything more about it past that. But five people have been arrested, and apparently it's a wild story that's starting to develop.
Like doctors, assistants, and stuff like that.
So. Yeah, wild story starting to develop. Anyway. That's it for us. Y'all enjoy NFL preseason week number two. When we come back, when we join you again on Monday, y'all, it will officially be college football week. Let's go. That's Lonzo. I'm Rob. Have a great weekend. Don't drink and drive. I'll punch you in the face. Greenville Triumph at home tonight, 7 p.m. Paladin Stadium against the Richmond Kickers. We'll see you back here Monday to do it all over again, but better, on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan of State.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them. Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.